This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Biden's campaign is in damage control mode after his debate performance last night. More from CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Behind the scenes, Biden aides did damage control, reaching out to rattle Democratic lawmakers.
It was a bad night, but it's not the end of the campaign.
Did Joe Biden have a bad night, in my opinion? Yes, he absolutely did.
In a radio interview, New Hampshire Senator Jeanne Shaheen acknowledged the party is grappling with what to do now.
He had a really bad night last night. So the question is that going to disqualify him for the next 4 years? I think that's going to be determined.
A Supreme Court ruling could affect the prosecutions of hundreds of the people who attacked the Capitol as Congress was trying to certify the 2020 presidential election. Many were charged with obstruction of an official proceeding, as is former President Donald Trump. And CBS's Jan Crawford explains the meaning of obstruction is the issue.
In a 6-3 decision written by Chief Justice John Roberts, the court said the law requires prosecutors to show something more, that they impaired the availability or integrity of records and documents. Biden appointee Ketanji Brown Jackson joined the conservative majority, with Trump appointee Amy Coney Barrett in dissent with the court's other two liberals.
The final decisions of the term will be announced Monday, including whether Trump has immunity from prosecution for his actions while president. The on and off abortion law in Iowa is back on again, as KGAN-TV's Skylar Talal reports from Des Moines.
The Iowa Supreme Court's ruling now paves the way for Iowa's nearly 6-week abortion ban to take effect. Those in favor of the ban are calling this a monumental day for the state, while some Iowa doctors say they aren't sure how to provide care now.
It's devastating to think about.
Soon, doctors will not be able to perform abortions once cardiac activity is detected, often about 6 weeks into pregnancy and before many women know they're pregnant.
That U.S.-built pier meant to provide aid to the Palestinians in Gaza is being dismantled again because of the weather.
We saw some aid trucks roll into Gaza. In total, around 8,000 metric tons of aid, or just over 500 truckloads, have made it in. But when you consider the fact that on any given day before the October 7th attacks, that 500 truckloads would get into Gaza every single day, this is barely scratching the surface. Now, a Pentagon spokesperson says that there's no date for when operations will resume on the temporary pier.
That's CBS News correspondent Imtiaz Tayyab reporting from Jerusalem. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wildlife advocates are filing another legal challenge to Wisconsin's wolf management plan. Mike Moan reports.
A coalition announced the appeal this week, and it centers on how the management plan came together under the state DNR. A judge dismissed the original lawsuit earlier this spring. It accused an agency panel of breaking the rules for how it interacted with special interest groups tied to hunting. Melissa Smith, with Friends of the Wisconsin Wolf and Wildlife, says by favoring certain voices, other wildlife groups are left behind.
It's quite egregious that the citizens of Wisconsin do not have any legal standing to challenge the rules in any decisions that's wildlife related.
The coalition says the judge's decision conflicts with principles under the public trust doctrine. The Department of Natural Resources says it cannot respond to pending litigation. This legal activity comes a few months after federal officials opted to keep the gray wolf on the endangered species list. State law requires a wolf hunt if the animal is delisted from federal protections, but the new management plan doesn't include a goal with specific numbers. Instead, the plan focuses on sustainability. Meanwhile, Smith says she wants state rules to be consistent.
If you look at the deer plan, our Wisconsin deer plan, it states plain as day that deer are held in the public trust. So it seems that it's pretty inconsistent when they decide something is held in a public trust and when something is not.
Hunting and farming groups contend the gray wolf population has grown too large, putting livestock at risk. But conservationists say these concerns are often overstated, that management efforts need to be rooted in science. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few showers and thunderstorms possible and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs in the mid-70s. More sunshine on into Sunday, highs in the low 70s. Rain chances return Monday. It's 67 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm calling it now before the opinion actually drops. On Monday, the Supreme Court is going to decide that in some situations, American presidents are kings. There's no better place to hear the breakdown.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Good Luck America Friday edition. Welcome to it, little buddy.
Hey, it's the debate hangover edition. Good to see you again, Crudy. Yeah, sorry, I just saw you not so long ago. You too, Rich, had a blast with you. Thank you as well. And our fair audience, welcome to the Devil's Advocates. For those of you who showed up at the Barrymore last night, thank you so much. It was a blast, although the debate a little difficult to watch at times.
Well, here's the good news. It's Friday. We air the grievances.
It's a perfect day.
And I got a lot of problems with the outcome of last night's debate. And I got called early this morning by The Guardian, unexpectedly, wanted an interview. How'd the big party go? What was the sentiment of the crowd? Ooh,
not so great.
Well, we'll talk about that. And, you know, we'll talk about our party because there was some press that noted that a lot of fine Devil's Advocates listeners got together last night at the Barrymore Theater. As Dom mentioned, thank you to so many of you fine people, and Dave Blaska also. He was there. I didn't see CJ, but curmudgeon, conservative blogger, Dave Blaska, alternative Trump delegate from 2016, he had his white Make America Great Again hat. And the only reason we mentioned Blaska is Blaska invited us to Scott Walker's party at 2016 in Cleveland. And we came at Blaska's invitation, and somehow that didn't get us in the door, but they did have a big debt to fill. Scott Walker's presidential campaign sort of ended in the red, if you'll recall, Dom. Had to sell him your email and a lot of others. So, anyways, we snuck into the party on the good word of David Blaska.
And the shiny red convertible that they saw you driving, I think, was also helpful.
Well, they thought I might have money. How mistaken were they?
Sorry. Never judge a book by its cover.
Many things the Scott Walker campaign got wrong, thinking I was a possible contributor. Oh, is that rich? So a little fuzzy. Some are a little fuzzy. I was a little fuzzier earlier today when I took that phone call. But let's start with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's coverage of our little soiree last night. In part, Good luck, America, is the headline. Biden debate performance leaves voters in liberal Madison lamenting choice. That's you people. You were there. And so many of you are quoted here. So I'm going to read some of you back your quotes. We'll quote the Devil's Advocates audience back to the Devil's Advocates audience, Tom. Even in Wisconsin's liberal bastion, the capital city of Madison, President Joe Biden's debate performance with former President Donald Trump left voters at a watch party lamenting their choice in the election. Biden's voice was hoarse and raspy from the start Thursday night. He stumbled over words and had to correct himself with numbers. He was sometimes hard to follow. On one occasion, the president appeared to lose his train of thought, concluding confusingly with the line, "We finally beat Medicare." Yes, there were a few confusing lines. Noah Anders, 24, grimaced when asked what he thought about the debate. Noah, apparently one of the fine attendees. "It was a painful experience to sit through. Neither candidate inspires our country," Anders said. The Madison resident, soon to start law school at the University of Wisconsin, said the debates left him with concerns about Biden's cognitive abilities, but also questions about Trump's mental abilities. "To be president, you deal with a lot of tough issues, and I don't know if they have the ability to navigate the nuance and hardships of the job," he said. Good luck, America.
Good luck, America. Probably the best sentiment I've heard all day.
Timothy Sanders, 48, another Devil's Advocates Party attendee at the Barrymore Theater, said despite the president's shaky performance, he's still optimistic about Biden. But he acknowledged the president didn't sound as crisp at times, that optics could be important in the election. "I'm not concerned at all about the age. If you had a grandpa, you took who took you fishing and had a stutter, you'd still trust him. You wouldn't put him in a debate on live television if you could avoid that because that's entertainment. That's not fair." Well, but he is running for office. He's kind of got to do that. Sanders vowed to campaign for Biden because he doesn't want to see Trump elected again. "I think we're at a very dangerous place," he said. I don't think he meant the Barrymore Theater per se.
No, I don't think so.
Now, here is how they describe it. The comments came at what should have been a friendly space for the Democratic president. Oh, it was a friendly space for everyone last night.
It was welcoming for all.
The debate was hosted at the Barrymore Theater by Madison-based The Devil's Advocates Radio. Some say the greatest radio show ever. I just added that in. And The Progressive Magazine, our partners, a political publication based in the same city. Several hundred attendees wore Biden-Harris t-shirts and enthusiastically purchased popcorn and beer. We told you, bring beer money, right? Then the televised debate started. Our pal Jesse Clingan, here's his quote. "I resent having to choose one of them." Oh, God. Jesse described as a 42-year-old construction worker from Milwaukee. "It's kind of picking the worst of two evils," Clingan said. "But at the end of the day, I'd rather have Biden on his worst day than Trump at all."
Absolutely.
Heidi Robertson, 48, a job coach in Madison, said she noticed Biden was a bit fumbly and that it felt cringy. But he was saying what he was saying was good. "He's going too fast. He needs to slow down his talking to get all his thoughts out." You know, that's always good advice when you're doing broadcast on. I sometimes get a little ahead of my thoughts, if you know what I'm saying. Now, the debate could compound a big problem in Biden's campaign in a vital swing state of Wisconsin, flagging enthusiasm for his campaign amongst Democrats. And they go on to quote Charles Franklin, not from the event last night, although Charles was one of the fine panelists, he and Maggie Dawn, but they talked about the closeness of the Marquette University Law School polling, Dom, and the enthusiasm that apparently is currently on the Republican side. And I got to tell you, there was plenty of enthusiasm for the spotted cows last night, Dom. Yeah. But less so for Joe Biden. There were a lot of people. There were hundreds when we started. And by the end, the post-debate panel, and, you know, we appreciate all that stayed to the wee hours. But it was a smaller crowd. It wasn't hundreds anymore. Just some hardcore rehashing post-debate. And anyways, Dom, it was a little tough to watch, I'll admit. I walked out of the room within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was. I kind of stayed in like the doorway between the lobby and the theater so I could keep an ear, keep an eye, you know, talk to some folks, keep the bar in sight. You know, I had to go refill once in a while. So it was a good spot because I didn't have to dedicate myself entirely. Because when he had the brain fart, when Joe Biden kind of lost his chain of thought, and I got to tell you, as a guy who does a little talking himself, I appreciate that. I've lost my chain of thought before, but I got Crudy here to help me out, help me remember. That was certainly cringeworthy. It was tough. The delivery, content, right, versus the delivery. I think what some of the folks said is absolutely correct. He said all the right things, and I would rather have old ass Joe Biden forgetting his chain of thought, saying the right things, going to his deathbed, saying the right things, defending this country, defending democracy, versus a guy like Donald Trump who lied continually and freely without enough pushback from Joe, in my opinion, and certainly the moderators. I'm not clear if there's anything that the moderators would have taken objection to had Trump said even more boastful lies. So I had an issue with that. At the end of the day, Joe was saying the right things. He continues to say the right things. Donald Trump was a danger to this country, and he continually lied unopposed. And Joe had opportunity, and when he did take the opportunity, when he did push back a little bit on the former president, I feel like he could have done it a little stronger. I think he actually missed a few opportunities. And that was just me kind of ducking in and out and having conversations. I took some informal polls in the restroom. No, man, a couple of times, nobody was happy. Nobody was happy with that performance.
I feel like it was a pass-fail for Joe Biden. This whole debate was about Joe Biden. I think, is he capable? Is he vigorous enough? And last night was a fail. He failed the test, and it's unfortunate.
It's still only one night. He's out there today. We'll have some sound. Perhaps we'll bring it in the 4
o'clock
hour.
That is way more encouraging. You should hear, and yeah, you will hear Joe Biden
today. Okay, but this is what I'm saying. There's literally bad days. Obama came out. Hell, I had bad days. I said last night, Obama lost that first debate as well. So, you know, I get it, and I'm still kind of processing everything. And you see, and I, you know, folks like Bill Press, you know, folks at The Nation magazine, you know, people that, you know, I look to and appreciate their opinions on these issues, and a lot of people are conflicted. What do the Dems do? What does Joe do? What do we go forward? And I still think, you know, at the end of the day, hell, man, it was a bad day. Joe, he's out there today. He's doing it again. He'll just keep on doing it. The days are going to get worse and worse for Donald Trump. And if you're going to compare delivery versus content, Donald Trump had a terrible debate. There wasn't a debate. It was just Donald Trump out there spewing lies over and over and over again.
But nobody called Trump out on his lies in real time.
Not enough.
Biden wasn't effective at trying to call out his opponent. I mean, it was his job. And you can complain, the moderators. I did complain last night. The moderators aren't doing their job. They're not fact-checking. But Joe Biden also, he's out there, right? This was, all the focus was on the candidates. And it wasn't on the moderators. And maybe a little insertion, Jake Tapper. I mean, what was the one thing I took away from the moderation? When they told Biden, one of his answers, you still got 82 seconds left, sir. They were more concerned about the timing, but 82 seconds, Dom, you could say a lot in 82 seconds, right?
Yeah, you could say a lot of lies in 82 seconds. Trump did, talking about, you know, moderators and media specifically, and Tapper said thank you. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come back 844.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl
Ingram.
This relationship that I'm having with my phone, it's a one-way trip to hell. Al from Milwaukee.
What's her name?
Who?
This person you have this relationship with.
My phone. Man, my wife is listening. What are you talking about, man?
I teach healthy relationships, so you can enroll in my class. It starts at 10 o'clock.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. The post-debate hangover continues. We're airing the grievances. If you have some, I'm sure some of you do. 844-967-2789.
Dom, my takeaway last night. Great party. Bad debate. Bad debate performance by Joe Biden. And, you know, buddy, it was a late night. Thank you to our co-panelists, Maggie Dawn and Charles Franklin. But Maggie did some real-time rehashing. We went to Paul's here on State Street, and she had a hotel
room.
Did you
solve all the world's problems, man? I mean, what's the solution?
Well, I can tell you it's not staying up late post-party and after the debate with Maggie Dawn. That is a recipe for a hangover.
Sounds like a good time. Sorry I missed it.
You did miss it. And then I got a phone call this morning from a fine reporter at The Guardian, Alice Herman. And first a text, hey, would love to interview you about the party last night. And I'm like, okay, bring. I mean, I didn't know. She was like, and I'm on a deadline is what she should have said, because she was looking to publish an article earlier today, and she did. And the headline at this one, at The Guardian, Dom, it scares me. Voters voice disappointment and alarm over Biden's debate performance. I'm going to quote here, Dom. I'm going to read this one a little bit. Even Democrats are now saying that it might be time for Biden to hang up the spurs after a disastrous debate. Alice Herman in Madison, Wisconsin, and then George Chidley in Atlanta. This coverage, Dom, and they are quoting some Wisconsinites, so we're going to start local. Ron Ringland is the president of a machine shop in southern Wisconsin. At 71 years old, he knows what it's like to keep working after many have retired and had shrugged off concerns about Joe Biden's age until last night. He's quoted, I was thinking, well, it's just Republicans are putting that out there to make him look bad, you know, but he looked bad last night, said Ringland, who said he usually votes for Democrats and views Donald Trump as a threat to democracy. Wisconsin's neck and neck right now, and just one thing can make the difference. And I think last night could have been the difference. And it scares me. After Biden's difficult debate performance on Thursday, Democrats and independent voters in swing states say they're increasingly disappointed and alarmed by the choice before them in November. Top Democrats are reportedly discussing whether Biden can step aside and allow someone else to get the nomination at the party's national convention in August. Joe Biden is not having it, guys. I'm telling you, Joe Biden's out on the campaign trail today, much more vigorous. We're going to play that sound in the 4 o'clock hour. We've got fine guests like Joe Sopecki, a Dem strategist. He'll give us reason to be optimistic, I hope. Give me something to believe in, Joe. And then former U.S. Attorney James Santel is going to help catch us up on all the legal wranglings. Bad news out of the Supreme Court today, Dom. But back to this article. Now, Ringland said he's open to the idea of someone else stepping in for Biden, but wasn't sure who would have the national name recognition. And perhaps we can talk about that, Dom. And then the next person they quote, I'm going to quote Crudy.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Anyways, Ringland says, I'm not sure that it would work, but it might be the only choice. That's what he said.
No. The only chance to replace Biden, according to Ringland. Okay.
Yes. Now, Mike Crude, who co-hosts a progressive talk radio show, well, they got to call us progressives, then, but I'll wear that badge. Radio show in Wisconsin called The Devil's Advocates threw a debate watch party in Deep Blue, Madison last night. The mood in the venue was grim. Crudy says, it was hard. Even hosting the party, he could barely watch, he writes. Again, Crudy quoting Crudy. I walked out of the room, I drank copiously, and I came back into the room, and you know, it was still Joe. Crudy, who describes himself as a birdiecrat, said he had nonetheless resigned himself to pushing for Biden during the campaign, and as tough as the debate was, he's not sure Biden can be convinced to step down. If you're the most powerful man, again, Crudy quoting Crudy, if you're the most powerful man in the world, who wants to say, no, I'm too old to do the job? I don't know. It would have to come from his wife. I don't know who else could tell Joe, hey, Joe, it's time to hang up the spurs. Is anybody telling Joe time to hang up the spurs? I mean, the chatter can be out there in the universe, Tom. But is anyone influential to Joe saying it? Because that's not the attitude he took today. I had a bad night. You know, you get knocked down, you get back up again. That's Joe's attitude today. That doesn't sound like a man who's, you know, rehashing whether or not he wants to commit to the race.
It doesn't seem like he's engaging in a philosophical exercise as to whether or not he's capable, willing, and wants to continue to do the job. I think he certainly wants to continue to do the job. And it was tough to watch, man. It was a bad debate. It was bad. Obama's debate with Romney was bad. Now this was worse. But you got to, you know, it's only one debate. It's only one thing. This is what we know. He acted like an 81-year-old man last night. My stereotypical impression of what an 81-year-old man would be like, that was Joe last night. And I will take that. Again, I tell you, I can't sit here and say I'm going to take the Weekend at Bernie's, you know, dead Joe Biden or his head in a jar or whatever the case is and not understand and acknowledge that there are going to be times like this. There are going to be times like this. And so until Joe decides to, what you say, hang up the spurs, it's still Joe. It's still going to be Joe. It's still always going to be Joe, because not comparing him to the Almighty, you're comparing him to the alternative. And that alternative, which we haven't really got to, how would we articulate and identify and specify the lies and the BS that were spewing out of Trump's mouth yesterday? Trump had his own issues. He lost a chain of thought of his own time. He mumbled a few times and, you know, blah, 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 oh, we got to fix that. Or, you know, no one's ever seen anything like it. We saw that from Joe. But it was overshadowed because our expectations were so much higher for the president. But I think the waves died down, man. And we'll see what happens.
I think Joe was way overcooked. Way overcooked, yes, last night.
Absolutely.
I mean, hoarse, to the point of being hoarse when he came to the stage.
Tell the guy, you know, the details on the spreadsheets, man. Big pictures. That's what people want to hear. Joe got to be Joe. What Joe is not good at, doing math on the radio.
He was terrible at that. We're not very good either. So we
That's
try
why
to...
we don't do it, man.
Here's Joe Biden's tweet today. Folks, I might not walk as easily or talk as smoothly as I used to. I might not debate as well as I used to. But what I do know is how to tell the truth. And I intend to win the election, he says. In North Carolina, we'll play you that sound a little bit later. You on the phones next. If you dial now, 844-96-PARTY.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A more energetic President Biden was on the campaign trail the day after the presidential debate. The president was in Raleigh, North Carolina. The Supreme Court is restricting a federal obstruction law used to prosecute people who attacked the Capitol when Congress was certifying Biden's 2020 election win. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson explains.
The Supreme Court reading a federal statute narrowly, and the benefit goes to the January 6th defendants who broke into the Capitol, including those who haven't been tried yet.
The Iowa Supreme Court has removed a lower court's block on the state's law banning most abortions.
The law does outline exceptions, including documented rape and incest, when the mother's life is at risk, and fetal abnormalities.
That's KGAN Television's Skylar Talal reporting. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Another Brewers Grand Slam. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 4-2 here at American Family Field. Three Brewers have now hit Grand Slams this week. Rhys Hoskins, Jake Bauer, and this time it was rookie Jackson Churio, bottom of the fourth on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The 1-2, Churio in the air. Left field.
It's Churio's first career Grand Slam. Pat Murphy on the 20-year-old's progress.
You've watched it. You know, the kid is learning, and he's made the most of his opportunities lately, and you can see why. You know, our people decided to sign him long-term.
The Cubs fall to 38-45 on the season and remain in last place. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I think we got to plan on scoring more runs. You know, we've got to score more runs. No question about it. That's a part of this for sure.
Again, the Brewers with a 4-2 win from American Family Field with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight with a few showers and thunderstorms possible and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds and highs in the mid-70s. More sunshine on in the Sunday, highs in the low 70s. Rain chances return Monday. It's 67 right now.
Max Inc. Radio.
From Puerto Rico to Wisconsin, Chera's sultry songwriting showcases her life. She's in studio for a live Saturday night concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, rocker and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations! Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Representative Mark Pocan joins us to talk about National Postal Workers Day. And we'll hear from Dean Muller with the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Thank God, Dominic. We made it. We made it till Friday. The post-debate hangover edition. We got some fine guests joining the show, including Joe Sopecki about an hour from now, and James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He's coming in the 5 o'clock happy hour. I don't know if I got one more of those in me today, Dom.
So many.
We're going to get to the phones momentarily at 844-967-2789. But, Dom, I'm glad you're showing your face publicly today after being so wrong.
About what?
Trump showing up yesterday?
Yes. Okay,
yeah, Trump showed up. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I never said he wouldn't. I just said at the time it was a 50-50. So I wasn't wrong. I was just putting odds out there. Should have taken the action, Curdy.
They did not shake hands either.
No, they did not.
Gary would have owed me some dinner.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. Christina from Sheboygan. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Christina.
Hey, I feel like they completely over-prepared Joe last night. Like, I feel like they gave him so much information. Like, you have to say this point. You have to say this point. Blah, blah, blah. It felt like to me that everything he was trying to say was just bottlenecking in his brain, and he couldn't get it out. I don't know. I just feel like, but you guys are right. Everything he said was good things, but it's the voters that, you know, the independents or whoever, the undecided voters, which honestly, I can't believe anyone is undecided at this point, but it's those voters where it's like, they're going to see that, you know, people that like Trump that talk loud and confidently, it doesn't matter what they say because they're like, oh, you know, they're going to be naturally drawn to that guy because he seems confident, right? Even though he's completely lying. I don't know.
Christina, let me ask you, after seeing that last, after seeing that last night, is it your impression that, number one, you'll continue to support and vote for Biden? Two, you want to see him replaced on the Dem ticket? Or do you have other voting preferences?
I would vote for a piece of cardboard if it wasn't Trump. I don't think Joe's a bad guy either. Yeah, he's elderly, whatever. But he has good intentions. And if this is how he wants to, you know, he's trying, he has a good heart, right? I feel like he does. I think he's, I don't know. I'm having a Joe moment because I can't talk either. it happens to the best of us, right?
It certainly does.
He had a bad night. I think he was just too psyched up, man. He just needed to go out there like he does on the campaign trail. You know, I was watching on MSNBC, and then right after the debate, they showed him going out on a stage to supporters, and he was completely fine.
Christina,
like,
Dom,
he was like,
Dom said to me, maybe Joe Biden missed the crowd more than Trump did. You know, we all thought Trump would miss the crowd, but Biden didn't seemingly have any crowd to draw enthusiasm off of.
Yeah, I think the higher up Democrats that you know run all this stuff, I think that they miscalculated that. They thought that Trump was going to completely fail and whatever, but Trump's got like ADD or something, you know. Like I think since there was no audience there, he wasn't distracted. So they told him, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to say. Keep saying this over and over and over, and he was able to stay on it.
Well, stay on lies, but Christina, yes, we certainly appreciate your listenership and
words
you contributing.
Words continued to confidently come out of his mouth. Yes, that is true. Again, the content versus delivery are two entirely separate things. And, you know, there's been a joke with me and my friends and family for a very long time. If you say it with confidence, it must be true. And that's the impression. I think, Christina, you pointed to that. So if you're just tuning in and you don't know that Nancy Pelosi didn't take responsibility for not bringing in the National Guard, and you didn't know that that was totally false and fabricated and incorrect, inaccurate, however you want to claim it, and you didn't know that, you didn't hear the moderators pushing back, you didn't hear Joe, you know, sufficiently pushing back, you might think, oh, damn. Well, what about that? And it sticks to you because he said it with confidence. Well, of course, it's not true. It's not true.
844-967-2789.
And don't talk about golf. I don't want to hear golf. Come on, man. Golf.
Come on, man.
Really,
I'm a six handicap.
Are you kidding me?
Trump was more offended by that statement by Joe Biden last night than anything else Joe said. Policy, he said, I'm a six handicap, and Trump about lost his mind.
It's just I mean, nobody cares, dude. I mean, you want to talk about things that nobody cares about? It's your golf game.
I don't believe.
Literally, dude.
I don't believe Joe is a six handicap either. Just like I don't believe Trump's a two handicap or whatever he claims. Guys that lie about their handicap in golf, I mean, it's like telling fish stories. Should see the whopper that got away.
It would be about as interesting and relevant if they're sharing their fish stories. It's absolutely irrelevant. You know what? When he kind of talked about his golf game, you should have brought around and said, yeah, but how about, you know, having women have the right of their own autonomy over their own body, Trump? You know what I'm saying? You don't talk about golf. Nobody cares about golf. Don't get sucked into that. How about, hey, remember when you raped that lady? You know what I'm saying? Why would you go down that road? Nobody cares about golf.
844-967-2789. I used to care quite a bit about golf, and then I start doing a radio show. Victor from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hello, Victor.
I listened on the radio last night. Biden sounded great. Continual punches, knockdowns. The morals of an alley cat, great knockdown. If I'll take you on in golf if you carry your own clubs, another great knockdown. Biden won every round. If that was a boxing match, continual knockdowns, knock the guy out, you know.
You know, that's unusual, Victor. Once upon a time, Kennedy and Nixon debated on TV, and it was played out on radio, and TV wasn't such a big thing then. And those that watched on television clearly thought that Nixon lost, but those that listened on the radio thought that Nixon had won. And the biggest difference is the visual imagery of the former president Nixon. Nixon had lots of flop sweat and he looked terrible. I would say those that visually watched it, they even had Joe at like a weird camera angle. Lots of times, Joe was like looking downstage, sort of side-eyeing his... Victor.
Another thing was, throughout the whole debate, they referred to Trump as President Trump. Well, come on, former president or Mr. Trump. It was always kind of, you know, they both called him, you know, both
presidents. Yeah, that's problematic.
But, and it isn't current. Yeah, that was another thing until the end, when they... the end of the debate, you know, they could SNL could do this weekend the whole hour and a half thing with Jim Carrey and Alec Baldwin and like word for word, and it would come off as Trump being the lunatic he is, you know.
Well, they could certainly do Victor, let me ask you, you said you listened to it on the radio. Have you seen any video clips? And of the video clips, that if you did see them, did that change your mind at all?
No. I don't think so, because he's still, you know, he, you know, Biden couldn't remember. It was the first. You notice when Trump, it went by really fast, and he said, "Talk to him, Brandon." Do you remember hearing that? No,
I didn't note that part, Victor. I'm sorry. There were some distractions, and there was a line to get drinks sometimes, so I was in the line some of the evening. I had a hard time being in the room and watching it in real time. And, Don, we've been to plenty of political events, and this was the hardest for me to watch. I don't recall ever just being repulsed in the same way, like emotionally, I had it.
Come on, when the returns came in when Trump beat Hillary the first time around in 16, it felt a little like that to me.
Did Joe Biden lose the election last night?
I don't think so.
You're the same guy that was wrong about whether or not Trump would show up last night?
Once again, I laid out some odds at 50-50. I was not wrong. No one took me up on it, and I was right around.
Come on, man. You were saying he wasn't coming. You were 50-50 on debate day. You were offering 50-50 odds. Up until then, it was 0%.
Up until he shows up, he shows up. No, man, he had a bad night. I think Joe Biden had a bad night. He's an old guy. He acted like an old guy who had a bad night. That's going to happen. Guy is 81 years old. You know, again, How is he today? How is he tomorrow? How is he in the next debate? How's his, what's his record like? What's his policy like? What are the things that he's saying? What are the actions that he's doing? You know, those are the things that matter. And, you know, we have vice presidents for a reason. If the guy gets incapacitated, something happens, you know, Kamala Harris is right there. You know, it was tough to watch. It wasn't as bad. And for the other thing, as a guy who's I'm an independent streak myself, I voted for a lot of, let's say, call it losing candidates in my life. You know what I mean? So I'm not as struck by the bad performance, because I get kind of used to it sometimes. I know. I think this will pass. I think how he comes out of this, and what really is interesting to me is how we react, how you react, how Rich reacts, how I react, how the pundits react, how the DNC, the elected Dems, how the independents, how do they react? If you were a for Joe, and I am for Joe, when you come up with this adversity, when you have a bad night, your reaction, I think, is telling not only about yourself, but about the philosophy and the political party you subscribe to. And I think it was a little shocking to be disappointed like that when Joe had that first brain fart. Man, that was tough. But after, you know, here we are 20 hours later, I'm looking back at it. I heard him a little bit today. It's a bad day, man. People have bad days. It doesn't take away from what he's done. It certainly doesn't take away from what Trump has done and said and must still answer to. So, no, man, I think there's a long way to go. Do you think he lost the election last night?
I think he lost the election last night.
So
I think
what?
Joe Biden lost. I think there are one of two choices at this late hour. And there are plenty of people on the text line that I do observe and I do read, and occasionally I'll read them aloud. There are people all over the text line saying you can't switch horses in midstream. And I honestly don't think that will happen. I don't think there is a plan B presidential candidate waiting in the wings that doesn't have their own flaws, their own issues. Lack of a campaign would be one of them, right? There's no one out there putting together the infrastructure, the ground game, all the different stuff. So now you're relying entirely upon the party. So to switch out Joe, theoretically, would include Joe Biden. Joe Biden would have to say, I am not capable of doing this. And Joe Biden's not going to come to that conclusion because he's out there on the stump today.
No. When Obama lost that first debate to Mitt Romney, and it was a
different circumstance.
Debate.
Obama is a completely different human being than Joe Biden, obviously. And he's 40 years his junior, dude. I mean, Biden's going to have a lot more bad days between now and election day.
To Joe Biden because he's younger? I mean, I'm just unclear.
This was a pass fail, and he failed. The question, the American public, those tuning in for the first time, tuned in and saw a doddering old man who did not look capable of doing the job. And I say that as a guy who intends to vote for him. I'm holding my breath. I'm going to do whatever I can, man. But even U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is walking away from Joe Biden today. We'll talk about that next. I mean, she's got her own campaign to run, and she doesn't want to associate her brand with the Biden brand. And I got to tell you, we've got like 4 months of shows between now and Election Day. And I greatly fear the alternative. So you'll hear me propping up Joe any way I can. But today I'm telling you the truth. I think he lost the election last night.
That's your opinion. I absolutely disagree. Folks, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
The morning show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about
milk producers, I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all, post-debate hangover edition. Join us there. The grievances, 844-967-2789. Big show stacked for you today. Joe Zepecki, Dem strategist, he's coming in at 4:30. Love to hear what Joe has to say. James Santel, host of, not Morning Cannolis anymore. What is
Amicus,
host of Amicus,
a law review.
On Saturdays, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock to review the rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court. It's been a hell of a day already, man.
Yes, it has. Tammy Baldwin distances herself from Biden after debate night stumbles. This is what's being reported by the Journal Sentinel here today, Dom. And we will endeavor to take more of your calls, 844-967-2789. We air the grievances, and I may have the same one that Senator Baldwin has. Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin today sought to distance herself from President Joe Biden following a rocky presidential debate performance that led some Democrats to question his ability to continue to lead the party. Now, here's a quote from her campaign. Tammy Baldwin is running her own race for the people of Wisconsin, the campaign spokesperson told the Journal Sentinel. Her focus will always be on showing up across the state, listening to working Wisconsinites, and fighting to make their lives better. Now, Baldwin's campaign initially declined to say whether Baldwin supported Biden as the Democrats' 2024 nominee before offering a one-sentence response. Tammy supports the president. The comments from Baldwin, who is in a tight election race that could determine the balance of the Senate, came as many Democrats stressed over Biden's shaky debate performance Thursday night against former President Donald Trump. Biden stumbled over his words. You that watched and listened on the radio, you know, have your own conclusions. But the debate was notable for the current president, who trails Trump in polling in many key swing states and faces low favorability ratings in Wisconsin. And it underscored questions of whether Biden's unpopularity could hurt Democrats like Baldwin in down-ballot races. Here's a quote from our fine guest yesterday at the Barrymore Theater, Charles Franklin. I think you've already seen in the Senate campaign try to run somewhat independently of the president. Last night's debate will probably make Democratic incumbents everywhere try to find ways to run on their own record and to separate that from a very unpopular president. Tammy Baldwin walking away from Joe Biden, at least rhetorically today.
It's a far cry from walking away. I would question that headline. Tepid support, perhaps. Certainly not walking away.
Had to be asked twice whether or not she would support Biden as the nominee. And she basically said, well, Tammy does what Tammy does, right?
Yes.
Without mentioning, they're asking him about Biden.
I got it. I understand. We just talked about it. We just read it. She nowhere in there walked away. That's not what she did. Here's what Ben Vogel had to say. He is the spokesman for Eric Hovde, Tammy's opponent. Vogel said it was, quote, not surprising that President Biden struggled to explain the disastrous consequences of the inflationary and open borders policy. Senator Baldwin fully supports. The Republican spokesman goes on to say what's more surprising is that Baldwin wants 4 more years of runaway inflation and open borders that have allowed dangerous criminals, terrorists, and deadly drugs to flood our country. Yeah.
844-967-2789. Our pal Chris from Sun Prairie She was at the party with Jerry last night. Nice to see you both. Chris, welcome back. Chris. What do you got for us?
Yeah. Hi, it was great to see you. Well, gosh, so much going on this morning. I guess what I'd like to say is I'd really like to see Democrats stop beating their own up. You know, I'm really, really tired of this. We watched this with Howard Dean when he went yow, and then he was out of the presidency. Al Gore didn't get the support he needed. Al Franken was drummed out of the Senate, and he shouldn't have been. Democrats need to stop beating their own up, and I really think that they should start, like, taking some of these lies that Trump told and start putting out information about that. I really would love to see them do that. And I really think that somebody should take the opportunity to maybe talk about the fact that President Biden had a speech impediment as a child. And it's very difficult for people when they get tired to, you know, compensate for the problems with their speech. He is an older man. I don't think it means that his intellect is, you know, compromised. And I really think that what these pundits on TV are doing is a disgrace. And I really think people should just stop. And I think that this should open up a conversation about people that have speech impediments and have some disabilities. Because I think that what's happening here in this age where we're all supposed to be, like, you know, really aware of everybody's being neurodivergent and having other problems, that people are not understanding the fact that this man had a speech impediment. And this is what kept him out of the presidency for many, many years. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Chris, you know, he also had a little...
And Tammy Baldwin, I would vote for her if she doesn't support him. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, Joe Biden ran for president three times. He failed of his own accord in 78. Was it 78, 76? With plagiarism accusations. Now, he overcame that eventually, and he was elected to the presidency. But, Chris, what I think you have to understand is when you say... You know, a tired man with a speech impediment is going to not show well. But the whole question of Sleepy Joe, Tired Joe, is whether or not he had the vigor. So just simply saying, well, he was tired. Well, why the hell didn't he take a nap? Why'd they have him overcooked, overprepped, tired horse? I mean, they brought the man to the stage horse.
It was a bad for him. I mean, the whole thing was a terrible bad for him. I mean, not having fact checkers was just wrong to begin with. To have anything on something called news where there's no fact checkers and to allow Trump to lie like that was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. The Democrats should have never agreed to it to begin with.
Well, of course, the Biden campaign thought they put one over on Trump, right? No audience, cut off mics, no fact checkers. And you saw how Joe performed. Chris, thanks for being at the party. Come on backy. Happy hour is next. Joe Sopecki joining us very soon, 4:30. And... how Joe sounds today. It's like he's a different human being. You'll be encouraged, those of you that think he lost the election last night.
Crudy.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, DJ Olbrus joins me to talk about Riverfest Lacrosse. And from the Green Bay Children's Museum, Heather Heil is in studio to talk 4th of July in Green Bay.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. President Biden's campaign aides are shooting down any thought that he will or should withdraw from the race after what they acknowledge was a disappointing debate performance. CBS's Bradley Blackburn was on the campaign trail with the president in North Carolina.
In North Carolina Friday, President Biden sounded less hoarse and appeared more energetic than he did during Thursday night's presidential debate.
I know I'm not a young man.
His performance on stage against former President Donald Trump raised questions among many Democrats about Biden's age and fitness.
I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth.
The Supreme Court has limited the scope of a legal statute used to prosecute hundreds of people involved in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, including former President Donald Trump. The ruling says that in order to charge someone with obstructing an official proceeding, a defendant must have tampered with official documents.
You got about 350 people total who faced this charge, but most of them, nearly all of them, faced other felonies too. It's unlikely they're going to try to reopen plea negotiations or reopen sentencing hearings, because it's possible they get a worse deal than they got originally if they try to reopen with the Department of Justice, which now has more success stories, more convictions, and potentially an equal amount of leverage.
CBS's Scott McFarlane in Washington.